Blog Talk Radio.
Squad. Turn me up a little bit.
Yo, turn radio.
Haha. What you know about it? What you know about it? I said it hip hop, the hip hip hop, and you don't stop. I rock on, baby, bubba to the boogie, the bang bang, the boogie to the boogie.
Bigger the beat. I was just about to get into that. What's going on, everybody? This is WTF with Joe D and the lovely and talented Miss Kenitra Jordan. How are you tonight, partner?
I'm awesome. I found a daycare for my kid today, and so I am stoked. Yay. It's a wonderful, wonderful little daycare, and he will start there in August, and so I'm so happy. So
did
happy.
You really say stoked? I mean, this 80s vernacular is killing me, really. It really is. Stoked.
Really?
Who in the hell says stoked in 2015? Oh, I
really?
Know. Mr. Jordan.
Bastard.
I'm feeling some kind of way because on the way home a few minutes ago, I got a freaking speeding ticket. That was $430. I mean, come on. Who the hell pays a $430 speeding ticket?
Okay, let me ask this. How fast were you going?
68 in a 55. That's not even speeding.
That is. My
really?
Father always said yes. My father said that if the speed limit is 55, I can go 58 or 59.
It was normally 65. They dropped it down because they claimed it was a work zone with no workers there.
Uh-huh. Well, if the sign says...
with no workers there.
If the sign says...
And no workers have been there for at least 3 weeks. But it's a so-called work zone. All it was a damn speed trap. All it was a damn speed trap.
Well, apparently it worked because it trapped your ass, didn't it?
There haven't been anybody over there working in 3 damn weeks. So how the hell is it a work zone? It was obviously a speed trap. But that's okay.
Well,
I'm going to court, and I will be fighting that.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Yeah, I could see you doing that.
I could see you winning, too.
No, I didn't say all that because, I mean,
okay,
like
we'll
I said.
Okay, we'll see. I bet you I won't be paying the $430. I bet you that. I can almost guarantee you that.
My poor beleaguered partner. The world
anyway.
Is so cruel to him.
Bite me.
You would
bite
enjoy it too
me.
Much.
Anyway.
You would enjoy it too much. But you do go fast. You know, didn't I tell you that? When you were driving to New York, man, you were scaring the snot out of me.
I know you ain't talking about nobody driving fast when you drive like a purity bat out of hell.
I do not drive like
yes,
a
you
bat
do.
Out of hell. I do not.
Yes, you do.
I drive like a princess
out of
hell.
Your last name should be Gonzalez for speedy. I'm just saying.
Whatever. I
whatever.
Observe the speed limit. I observe,
yeah, you observe
the rules.
It. You're right. You observe the speed limit as you're flying by it. You're so right.
I observe
yeah,
the
you
rules
observe.
And the laws of the highway.
Mm-hmm. You notice you said you observe, not obey. You observe the speed limit, not obey the speed limit.
It is implied if I say I observe that.
Right. No, it's
it
not
is
implied.
Implied that I, it is, too. It is implied
whatever.
That I follow and abide by all laws, and yeah, that's, yeah, yeah, okay?
Whatever.
It is implied. It is implied.
Anyway, y'all, we got a great show for y'all tonight. We have Miss Lady Platinum, and we also have, is it Britton Amir? I think that's how
yeah.
you pronounce it.
I think so.
Two wonderful authors, and they're going to tell us what they have going on presently and what's going to be coming up in the future. And also they're going to be joining us for the main topic tonight, which is, and this is going to be for the readers, really. What do you think readers really want nowadays in books? What do they like in authors? What don't they like in authors? What do they like to read, and what don't they like to read? So that's going to be
interesting. And how do you know this? Yeah. How do we know this as authors? How do we figure this out?
Well, we gauge what they buy.
That's what I'm saying. That's what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah,
different ways
yeah.
to gauge what the puppy
exactly.
wants. Duh.
And we'll also be joined by our resident know-it-all, other than me, simply Shonda. We'll be with
Shonda
us tonight.
Shonda is going to stick her foot in your behind. You do
whatever. Shonda know I'm telling the truth.
Shonda is
so
going
to be. She will be joining us with topics and everything, but first we want to get to something that we like to call the spin cycle topic. So, KJ, spin the wheel.
Okay. My first topic is I thought it was rather touching, but it also... my first topic could be a snowball, okay? So let me just go ahead and start with what the actual article is. It's talking about the black state official who helped the white neo-Nazi demonstrator who was, you know, demonstrating in favor of the Confederate flag. Apparently he got sick during the rally that was held there, you know, over the protest over them removing the Confederate flag, and it was like 100-degree heat out there, and he succumbed to the heat. And this African-American cop or police officer by the name of Leroy Smith, they say he actually runs the State Department of Public Safety, was seen helping this Caucasian man.
I don't mean to interrupt you. Hold up. Did you say this guy's name was Leroy Smith?
Yeah.
That's funny to me. Leroy.
What is that funny to you? Shut up. Because
I have this image of the Last Dragon.
Showing your age. At any
anyway,
rate,
go ahead.
At any rate. So, and he was, you know, seen helping this white protester who had
the swastika. I got some real for you in these hands, Leroy. You know, go ahead.
Really, Jody? Shut up. I hate you, sporting a swastika on his chest, and he was seen helping him, you know, to shelter to try to get out of the heat. And so they were talking about how, you know, this was a profound, profound picture, and it was actually one of Governor Nikki Haley's people who snapped the picture and tweeted the picture. And I just thought that it was very touching myself as well, because I've just been very amazed and in awe at the resilience of, you know, a state of people who are hurting, who are grieving, who are trying to heal, trying to move on, and in the face of so much hatred, once again, we have a man who rises above the fray and does what is right. And that is help another, not a white man, not a white man wearing a hateful swastika, not a white
man protesting
hatefully, but another human being. No, I'm saying it like that because a lot of times the thing that Klan members try to say is that blacks and minorities are not human. So that's why I am saying it like that. And yet this man rose above that, Leroy Smith, and he went and he helped out his fellow man. Stop snickering. And he helped his fellow man. And
okay.
So that was very moving for me and very touching for me. So,
okay, first
and that's
off,
something that's, here we go.
The swastika, y'all need to start with the whole swastika is a hate symbol. The swastika is not a hate symbol. The Nazis took the swastika. It was a symbol that has been throughout time, in ancient Egypt, in ancient Asia. They took it and made it theirs. The symbol
I know
itself
this, Jody.
Racist. Let's get that straight.
Just like the Confederate flag is a symbol that was taken. That's the irony behind the fact that they were protesting. You're protesting the Confederate flag being pulled down. You're protesting saying it's not racist. Yeah, here your white asses are, you know, proclaiming to be the Ku Klux Klan and talking about, you know, niggers go home and white power, and you're holding up the Confederate flag. What the hell? Oh, no, it's not racist. We don't make it racist. Yes, the hell you just did. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I guess there will be a place in heaven reserved for Leroy Smith.
Really? Really, Jody? Really? You just can't help yourself, can you?
Good looking out for your fellow man, Leroy. You're a better man than a lot of other people. That's wonderful. I mean, I have nothing really bad to say about that. Nothing, you know, other to add about that. I mean, you just, you know, I always say, underneath all the BS, most people are decent and good people. Most of the time. When push comes to shove, now every now and then you got some a-holes, but when push comes to shove, most people help other people out, regardless of race, color, creed, whatever. Most people help other people out when they see somebody in need. It's just human nature, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So my hat's off to you, Leroy. My spin cycle topic is something that I actually posted in our group today. It was a picture of Al Sharpton flashing the Illuminati sign, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He got caught flashing this sign, you know? And it sparked a bit of a debate. And I got to thinking, I'm like, do people understand what those symbols mean? Like, because we see people do stuff all the time and we just take it for granted and it's just, you know, doing something, but we don't really bother to ponder what they're doing. Like, I remember in the NBA, when you hit a three-pointer, it used to be you just raised both hands like you scored a touchdown. That used to be the sign for a made three-pointer. And then all of a sudden it changed to the kind of Illuminati eye symbol. You know, people holding up three fingers with like kind of like the OK symbol.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you do the OK with your hand? That's really an Illuminati symbol. That's really what that is. It's really an Illuminati eye. That's what that is. And somehow and people just started doing that in the NBA, and all of a sudden everybody started doing it. There are so many hidden messages and symbols with rappers and rock guys and just people on TV in general, that they flash these symbols all the time, and people just like, they're just so unaware, like they're like, okay, cool. But we see it all the time, like on my post, there's Al Sharpton, there's Jay-Z, there's LeBron James, there's Iggy Azalea, it's just so many people that throw up these signs, and people are like, and it's interesting to me how people reacted in the group, because some people were like, I don't believe that mess. I ain't like Al Sharpton anyway, you know. Or I don't believe in the Illuminati. Or some people were like, yeah, okay, it's real. Y'all need to open up your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I think. I don't think everybody who flashes those symbols are part of the Illuminati. But I do believe there is an elite segment of the population that exists to control stuff. All you have to do is look and do some research. You'll see it for yourself. There are the wealthy upon wealthy elite that do a lot of stuff to keep a lot of stuff going. Yes, they do. And you can call them whatever you want to call them. Some people call them Illuminati, some people call them whatever. But
I don't know.
There is a segment of our population who keeps stuff going. I don't care which one. Some people call them the man. You know, I don't know what you want to call them, but it's real. People flashing up symbols is real. All you got to do is turn on your TV. You'll see it all the time. I remember one time I never really thought about this until somebody, and I forgot who it was, but they told me to go watch a video on YouTube. And the video was talking about the Illuminati and the images and the symbols that they give to rock stars, rappers, actresses, whatever, to flash into the public eye to keep you mesmerized and enthralled. And I was like, this is ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? Before I watched that video, I was like, really? I ain't never seen nobody flash no symbols. I watched this video, and you would be amazed. It's like the video lasts about 30 minutes, and through the whole video, it's nothing but just like music videos, even wrestlers, wrestling, movies, television shows. It's all these different things, sporting events. It's all these different things, but they're all. It always shows people flashing symbols that I never really even thought of. You know, I've watched basketball games before, and it never occurred to me what they were doing until I watched this video. And now it's like I see these people flashing these things all the time now.
Right.
And I never picked up on it before until I saw this video. So, I don't know why they do it, but it's got to be for a reason. People just start throwing up signs for no reason, you know?
Right, right.
But they throw them up everywhere. It is so ridiculous. They got our kids doing it. John Cena does it. Y'all, my son loves John Cena. He comes in the ring and throws up an Illuminati sign. He does.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, just do your research.
Well, let me just let you know, the Illuminati does in fact exist. All right.
Oh, I know.
Huh?
I said, oh, I know.
Yeah, if you study history, and you know that's my minor, you know that the Illuminati is a Bavarian group that was started in the Enlightenment area. It was a secret society,
yes, yes.
And it was first founded May 1st of 1776.
Yes.
So,
mm-hmm.
And it's been kept going over the centuries. Such people as Ben Franklin were known to be members of the Illuminati. Early presidents were known to be members of the Illuminati because in the ancient world, so to speak, it is believed that the Illuminati will be the ones who fund the New World Order, and the
mm-hmm.
Masons will be the ones who oversee the rebuilding of the New World
mm-hmm.
Order. But the Illuminati, they do exist. Like I said, it is a secret society, and it is historical. So for the people who say, I don't believe in the Illuminati, those are the people who must have slept through history class.
Well, I think those people who say they don't believe, I think they're talking about the current-day Illuminati and what people believe about them current day. I don't think when they say they don't believe it, I don't think they don't believe in their existence per se.
But here's
I think
the thing.
They...
But it's arrogant to make such a statement because if it was a highly secretive society started in the 1700s and they didn't even know about it then, what the hell makes
right.
you think you're gonna know about
exactly.
it now?
Exactly. That's my point.
The fact that we
and
have
it's a secret society, I mean.
Right. So the fact that we have the historical evidence and we know for a fact now that it started during the Enlightenment era of, you know, of the world, and we know that it started in 1776, and we have proof that various former presidents were members of it.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell makes you think you are so enlightened? To use the term and make a pun, that you actually know who exists and who does not. So, I mean, you know.
I wish I could think of the name of that video, but all you really have to do is go to YouTube and put in Illuminati and watch some of the videos. There's a lot of videos there. But this particular video shows just so much imagery. And it's so funny to me how it opened my eyes and stuff because I never really it never even registered to me when these people used to throw up these signs. Like,
mm-hmm.
when I used to see Jay-Z put that sign of the pyramid up, I didn't think anything about it. I just thought it was just something that he did. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
was,
but see, you also
you know,
have to think
symbols.
In terms of the deltas. Right, but, you know, your deltas do the pyramids as well. Your deltas,
yeah, I know,
they
but what
break
I'm
the
is,
pyramids.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is so many people throw these signs up in the most odd places. And you don't even, you know, you're saying you don't even realize it. You know, it's just you get so accustomed to seeing people do stuff,
mm-hmm.
you become numb to it. And so when I saw this video and I saw how often that they do it, that's the thing. It's so prevalent. It's like in every, like, commercials and television shows and sporting events, like, you know, like I said, like the basketball players. Now, see, I'm somebody who's a basketball, like, fanatic. And I know every time that you hit a three-pointer, what the referee does. You know what I'm saying? I used to ref games. You put your hands up. It looks like the touchdown symbol.
Right.
Same thing. And they changed it just overnight. You know what I'm saying? With this Illuminati symbol. And I remember the first time I saw somebody do it, I was like, what are they doing? Oh, and I remember my boy was, you know, he was watching the game. He was like, oh, no, nah, man, that's they just hit a three. That's the new thing for hitting a three. Oh, okay. It never even occurred to me. But now that
right.
I see it, it's like these symbols get thrown up like game signs all the time.
Well,
weird.
Because if you, in all honesty, if you want to look at it like that, the Illuminati could be considered a type of gang.
Yeah, yeah. An
you
elite
know,
gang.
So, yeah,
you
an
know?
Elite gang, yes. The Illuminati is supposedly the top 1% that control the money and
yep.
everything, you know, that goes on in the world. And that's history. That is history. And I'm sorry,
and,
you know me. You know me. I like for my facts to be correct. If you
yeah.
read any of my books, any of my writing, you will always tell. I'm not going to tell you any lies or any stories. You're going to get it straight. And that's the history major in me. I'm sorry.
And as a side note, the top 1%, y'all, they're building their own island. I saw this not too long ago. Just keep note of that. They're building their own island. It's actually trying to be, they're actually trying to get it big enough to be like a continent with its own laws. Now think about that for a minute. They want
well,
their
it
own
makes sense.
Freaking continent that had, that's
makes
not
sense,
even governed
Jody.
By the United States law.
Makes sense. What did I tell you historically? The Illuminati fund the
I
New
know.
World Order. And
I
the
know.
Masons
I'm just
will
saying,
be the
y'all
ones
pay attention.
Who build it.
Yeah, I'm just
right.
saying, y'all pay attention. Y'all pay, and they're
right.
doing it. They pull their money together. All the billionaires and trillionaires in the United States, they have pulled their money together to build this thing. I mean, you know, and it's going to be huge. And it's going to be just off the coast of the United States. But it's going to be in kind of like international waters, so there won't be a governing body over it. They're going to have their own laws. That's what they said.
And then
so
they
watch
can
out.
Set America afire, I guess, huh? And watch
I don't
it
know
burn.
What they're
going to
do.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, you just you have to. And you know what? I always tease. I will always tell my students and try to get my students to understand. If you know the history of the world, then you are one dangerous son of a or girl of a bitch.
Anyway.
Okay. Because seriously, think
y'all,
about it. So few people know the actual history now.
Yeah. That's what's called his story. But anyway, y'all, coming up,
fight my
we're going to have Platinum and Britain Amir right after this.
Yay! All right, I am back, and I have still more great things for you to read. Can you believe it? All of these talented authors out here. This week we have for you by Britain Amir, Sins of My Father, 1, 2, and 3. So if you really like series, all three books right there for you to read at once. And by Platinum, we have When Loyalty Calls, 1 and 2, Diary of a Trifling Bitch, 1, 2, and 3, Brandy, which is a short story, Lust, Lies, and Lingerie, 1 and 2, and Coming Soon, When Trifling Began. All of these, obviously, of course, available Amazon.com for you to go download right now and get your read on. See you later. WTF with Kenitra and Joe D is brought to you by Joe Ken Publications, where integrity and creativity go right together. Please continue to follow with us as we go through the course of 2015. Be sure you pick up our newest release, Washed in His Blood by Kenitra Jordan, on Amazon.com for your Kindle. And keep your eyes peeled because sugar is returning to your Kindle soon and sugar-free. Before 2015 is out, you will know who Joe Ken Publication is. Stay tuned. We're back.
Hello. I believe we have some guests at the door.
I don't know. Do we have guests at the door? Do we? Yay! I think I hear a doorbell. All right, I believe that's Platinum. Platinum, is that you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
And
what's
Britton?
Going on, Platinum?
Yes, it's me, Britton. I'm here.
Yay!
Hello, Britton. And
oh,
where is our resident know-it-all, Simply Shonda?
Oh, she will be right back. She had to tend to something.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, start them off, KJ.
All right. So I wanted to ask you guys something because I noticed when I was looking at your books or whatnot that you guys have written collaborations. Is that easy to do? Is it easy for you to write with another author? And how do you actually write a book with another author?
My collab I did with, I just got finished with a collaboration with one of my pen sisters, Sakina Raheem. She was on the show last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty easy for us to do our collab. I mean, I would take the book and I would just go. You know, we got our storyline together, what it is we our vision was for the book. And then once we got our storyline together of what we wanted the book to be, I'll take the book and I'll go. I may take the book and I might just take off for like 5,000 words, 6,000 words or whatever. And then I'll be like, okay, I'm stuck. And I'll send it back to her, and then she'll go. You know, we fed off of each other's vibe, and we got the book done fairly quickly.
Okay.
Wow. But how do you make it so, like I read an excerpt. How do you make it blend so smoothly? I mean, it you can't really tell where one author stops and another one picks up. How do you do that?
I think it's more so when authors do collaborations, they should be more in sync with each other.
Mm-hmm.
They should know, you know, each other's writing style.
Platinum?
Oh, we didn't lose her, did we?
Yes. Britton, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay.
Did you pick up where Platinum left off?
Yeah, did you pick up?
I would love to. However, I hadn't did a collab with anyone. Platinum and a couple other pen sisters have done collaborations and wrote books. I just wrote my one series, and that's it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Gotcha.
Well, tell us about the series that you have out.
Since My Father is about Sincere, who goes through troubles from beginning to end. She's never catching a break. She's actually paying for things that her father has done that she has no idea what has happened. You know, we all go through life where we're paying for something our parents have done in their life that we end up paying for. And she just goes through, see that she can't trust people, that people who she thought were her friends were actually enemies. And, you know, she just goes through life with the ups and downs.
Wow. That sounds awesome. So now, how do you go about doing your research when you're writing?
When I do, I mostly research for facts. Like if I want to know more so of an address, of a place, or if I need something for history to pinpoint, then I will research that. But as far as actually the book and the story, I don't do any research for that. It just comes off the top of my head. I just go with the flow.
Wow. That is amazing. Now, I want to ask you this one, just because I'm just tooting my horn here. Where are you from?
I am from South Carolina, from Chester, South Carolina. I live in Rock Hill, and I work in Charlotte. I am a very local girl.
She's right here with me.
Yes, darling.
She's right here with me.
I knew she had to have some southern roots because I can hear it.
Well, that's why I brought it up. I brought it up for that reason. All right, so now Platinum, you were talking about how you do your collaboration, and I was asking you how do you make it seem so smooth. You want to go ahead and continue with that?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I think the phone hung up on me. But like I say, what we did, me and Sakina, we just was both on the same page with this project. And like I say, I'll do some, she'll do some, and then when she send it back to me, I'll start back at the beginning. Like, I didn't even write none of the book, and I'll go over, read, you know, fix what needs to be fixed, and then I'll go from there. And then when I sent it back to her, she did the same. So we basically, you know, stayed on the same level up until the end of the book.
That is awesome. That really is. Joe D and I are supposed to be writing a collaboration, but I usually just want to hurt him. So that's why I want to know, you know, from you, how did you do that? Because I'm just in awe of you.
Oh, thank you. You can hurt him. It's okay. I wanted to hurt Sakina a couple times, but, hey, we got through it.
Gotcha.
And she might have wanted to hurt me, too. Let me put that out there. I mean, hey, we was at each other.
Tanisha just doesn't get my pace. That's all. That's all it is.
He doesn't have
a
pace. That's the problem.
I do
have a pace. He drives you insane. No, you don't.
Whatever.
So, anyway, now, Platinum, where are you from? Because I'm also asking this for a reason, too. Go, Platinum! Where are you from?
I am originally from Florida. I just relocated here to North Carolina. I am stationed in Pembroke. I relocated here in October of last year.
Okay. What part of Florida are you from?
I'm from coast down by Tampa. It's a little city called Bradenton.
Oh, okay.
Okay, cool. Because I was talking to Platinum earlier today, and I was telling her that I have relatives from the Pembroke area because, you know, my mother is mixed. My mother is Lumbee Indian. And so that was just fascinating when she told me she was from Pembroke. So I was like, woo-hoo! So I just wanted to bring that up. I'm so sorry. It's just very rare that we have such talent from right here, or I shouldn't say from right here, because I know Platinum's not from the Carolinas, but just, you know, situated right here in the Carolinas. Right, but I'm just saying it's just so rare that we have such amazing talent right here. So I'm just so proud to, you know, to say that both of them are so close by. I'm so honored, you know, I tell you.
Well, okay, now that you're doing all the kissing up, let me ask a question.
You see what I mean?
Britton, what do you think of the literary landscape right now in the urban community? I know that's a toughie, but
I'm gonna give you straight no chaser. I feel like you have. There's so many good authors out here who can just write and who can just tell it like it is. But however, you have more competition in this industry, in the urban side, than you do the music world, I feel. It's like they want to compete with each other. They want to slander each other. I feel like that is hurting us with the readers. Let's put out good books. Let's let all that other stuff go. You know, my thing is, you know, I write because it's my passion. You know, I know some people write because that passion and they want to get rich. Do you the way that you do you, and that's fine. But let's all come together, quit all this writing beef, and let's just put out good books.
Right, right.
I agree. What do you think about that, Platinum?
I mean, Brittany just basically summed that all that up. I mean, I agree with her 100% on that. I mean, I love writing. I love doing what I do. Let me see, how can I say it? I am a person that I'm allergic to drama. I don't do drama. I don't do the writing beefs. I don't do none of that. I can't do it. I can't take it. I don't like it.
Okay.
Right.
Now, Platinum, what type of advice would you give an up-and-comer that wants to be where Platinum is right now?
Oh, my God. An up-and-coming author?
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this. I, for one, never thought in a million years that I would be where I am today. This is totally a dream come true. So for an up-and-coming author, I mean, if writing is your passion, go for it. I mean, and go for it wholeheartedly. I mean, because this is amazing. I love writing. I live on my laptop. My laptop goes everywhere I go. If I'm riding up 95, my laptop is in the car with me, trust.
All right, all right. Same for you, Britton. What type of advice would you give to an up-and-comer?
That they need to grind. That don't just think that, you know, you got a book out, it's supposed to sell. You need to keep grinding. Don't expect for your publishing house to do everything for you. You need to get out there. Put your feet to the pavement. You need to get known. New authors are introduced every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. So if you want to get out there, I need you to know the readers, to get to know them, to be open, to talk, communicate, be on the street corner hustling if you want to get out there and get your book out. This is why you need to get it. If this is what you really want to do, you need to stick to, like Pat would say, you know, keep that laptop with you, have that passion, have that drive, and just keep going for it. You know, don't just think it's going to come out there for you. You got to go and get it. And if your first book makes the bestseller list, okay then, keep going and keep pushing and keep doing it. And you, to me, I feel like you have, if you don't believe in yourself and push yourself, how can you expect someone else to? You got to grind. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
No, that's true. I like
yeah,
that. We need
that
some
is.
Applause. What is the applause button? We need applause on that one.
Okay.
I'll give you my applause. But I definitely agree with you on that. You definitely got to put the feet to the pavement and hustle, hustle, hustle. Okay,
yes,
y'all.
Sir.
Coming up, we're going to have the main topic. What do you think readers want today? It should be interesting. Listeners, if you want to chime in, hit the one. We'll be back right back after this.
And tune in next Wednesday, July 29th at 9 o'clock p.m., when we will finish out July with Alan Leslie and Naveed Robbins. Look for more information on them as well as their book in WTF with Kenitra and Joe D., the fan page, as well as WTF with Kenitra and Joe D., the actual group on Facebook. See you next week. Looking for a good read? Try reading Sugarland by our own Jodi Sanders. Meet Sugar, a mysterious and vengeful woman originally from a small town in Georgia, as she returns to the Carolinas to deal with her shameful and disturbing history with a group of three very flawed friends. Also by our own Kenitra Jordan, Eternal Bloom. Raised to honor her vows, Ayanna Adams soon learns the truth about her husband and still has to try to find a way to get herself and her children out alive. You can pick up these two titles at Amazon.com for your Kindle or Barnes & Noble for your Nook. Thank you for your support. So let's go ahead and get it started. What do you think that readers want? Platinum?
I talk to all of my readers. My inbox is always open. And I ask them the same questions, and most of my readers, they just want a good storyline. My readers like drama. They like, you know, basically hood books, like, I mean, drama, sex, you know, or whatever, whatever. But me personally, I give them a lot more than that. I mean, all my books have drama in it. All my books have twists in it. But majority of all my books have a real-life situation in it as well. You know what I mean? Like the Lust, Lies, and Lingerie series, it has a rape scene in it. And rape is real.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, you know, that's the feedback I got from my readers.
Right. Britton?
I think that I agree, you know, with Platinum, but to add on that, too, I think that, you know, readers want a story that they can relate to for a reasonable price. You know, they they want, some of them like theory, some of them don't. Some of them want a standalone book, and when you write a standalone, they want a theory. You know, but at the end of the day, readers want a good, relatable story that's edited really, really good for a reasonable price. They want you to touch their inner soul, to bring something out of them. At the end of that book, they want to say, damn, that was a good book. They want to say, oh, yeah, I like him. Or why? They want to be able to bring something from what they just read and talk about it. That's how I feel.
And what do you think that reasonable price is? Because I feel like some readers, want all of that, what you just said. That's a lot, what you just said. To be touched, to be in a position where they're like, damn, that was a good book. But they want it all wrapped up in a reasonable price. Now, what do you think a reasonable price is? Because let's face it, it's not cheap to produce a book.
Yeah, books are not cheap to write. And, you know, and it depends all on that person. Because as for me, I don't care about paying $18 for a James Patterson book. I don't care about paying $17 for a Waheeda Clark book because I am a book reader. I love books. I don't care about paying $8.99 for a Kindle versus 99 cents. It depends to me. It depends on what that person's budget is on that day that they want to buy that book. If you don't got a check on a Friday and you want part three of my series and it's $6.99, you're going to get it that day.
All right, now.
But now if you want it and you ain't got no money and it's $6.99, you're going to be cussing and fussing and asking somebody, can you borrow it? I mean, I'm just giving it to you like it is. So, you know, they want it at a reasonable price for them, depending on their bank account.
Now, what do y'all think? I'm gonna ask both of y'all this question, Britton and Platinum. What do y'all think about free books on Amazon? Free and 99 cent books. Do you think it hurts our industry or helps our industry?
You said the 99 cent books?
99 cent and free books.
I do my first book of my series, I do it for 99 cent, and I see no issue with it. Why? For one, I am a new author. Well, I'm fairly new. I'm not going to say I'm new because I've been, you know, out here a little bit. But I am a fairly new author, and it's going to take time for readers to get to know who I am. Now, to add on to what Brittany Amir had just said about, you know, the price you pay for a book. Now, Juanita Clark has been in the game for years, and I tell you what, I can walk in Walmart and see a Juanita Clark in Walmart for $19.99, like Brittany and Mary say, and I'm going to find the threads out this debit card trying to get it because I know it's some five.
Okay.
So my thing is, like the 99 cent books, like I say, I don't mind doing the 99 cent books because I need my readers. 99 cent is a reasonable price for a reader to pay. And then once they get to know you or whatever, then they're not going to mind if you jack the price up a little bit. They're not going to mind if the price is not 99 cent anymore. If I come out with a standalone book and it's $4.99, my readers are going to say, well, I know how Platinum writes, and I know this book is going to be good. So it's going to sell. The book is going to sell itself.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, the book in your name, because they know you and they
pretty
expect
much
quality from you. Okay.
Pretty much, because, you know, after my readers read so many 99 cent books, they already know, okay, well, she bringing some fire. I have also put my books down to free. You know, 3 days, you get this book for free. One click, this book for free. I mean, it's the same way of you grinding your paperback books. You got to get out there. I mean, your books, I mean, they're not going to sell themselves. You got to get out there. You got to get your readers involved with you or who you are and what you're writing about in order for them to be interested in buying something that you're going to put out there for $5.99, $6.99.
Okay, well, now tell me this, okay? Because, you know, you made the comment about, and I get what you're saying, about the 99 cent and the, you know, free books and how they help to get your name out there. But is that getting your name out there as quickly as you really hope, or would what Britton say get you out there faster? You know, Britton made the comment that you have to get out there, you've got to put feet to pavement, and you got to walk, and you've got to hustle your book, and you've got to get your name out there as a new author. Which do you think is going to get you known faster?
I mean, both ways is a plus. I mean, say for instance, as in today, I've been going to school, to college. I've been taking business classes in college since May. Since May. This is July. And the students at the school and the teachers at the school didn't even know who I was. They didn't even know I wrote books. But somebody brought it up today. Well, she's an author. She wrote 9 books. And after my classmates and the teachers found out that I wrote 9 books, I made 10 sales.
There you go.
You understand what I mean? It was like, oh, you're an author? Oh, yeah, I got to buy your book because I got to tell everybody I went to school with this girl. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, yeah, the 99-cent e-books, they're fine with me. I have no promise with the 99-cent e-books because guess what? Yeah, you're getting that book for 99 cents. Okay, that's going to help me in the e-book world. But my paperback sale, I had to come home on my lunch break and get every paperback I had of my books. And I sold all of them today at school. I was like, I ain't got no more. They was like, well, when you going to order some? When I get some more money. What do you want me to do?
Agreed.
Run it out.
Yeah. The e-books world is definitely, for me, a first-time author coming out. That 99-cent book made me. I mean, because you didn't know who I was from a can of paint.
Right.
You know,
let me ask you this, Britton. But don't you think the proliferation of everybody, like you said earlier, there are new authors that come out daily, actually hourly, hourly. Every hour on the hour, there are new authors. And they all coming out with 99-cent books. So what distinguishes you from everybody else?
If you don't know me by now, I'm a talker. I'm gonna talk to the guests. We gonna talk. We gonna whine. You gonna do this. I'm gonna get in your face. I'm gonna make you know me, love me. And that's what I'm gonna do. So I don't. And I'm asking you to take a chance on me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I hate when I go in the store and I buy a Twix for $1 and it stays. I know y'all can dog go mad. I buy an oak, I can't take it back. So I don't want. You know what I'm saying? So I want you to take my book for 99 cents and like it. Like, you know what? That girl, I with me. I like the way she writes. She cool. So I am going to do what it takes to get you to like me, like my writing, and want to be a part of what I have to offer. You know what I'm saying? Because
right.
And I know people like the free books, the 99-cent books. Like you say, they come out all the time. So, yeah, you're going to get my book for 99 cents. You're going to like it. You're going to enjoy it. I'm still going to talk to you. I'm going to drive you crazy. Because guess what? You are going to get to know me, and you're like, you know what? That girl really can write. I like her. I'm going to try her. And I'm going to get my friends to try her. I'm going to get my book club to try her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, that's me. Everybody hustle different.
Right.
Now, what you just said leads into another question I have for you. What do you think sells, and this is for both of you, what do you think sells your books more than anything? Is it your writing, the price, or your personality? Do you think your personality is what really sells your book?
I think that my personality and who I am sells my book, because 99-cent books come out every day. So people may buy that. But for you to buy that part two, you're going to like what I wrote. But then once you, I think it's a combination of it all. I really do. You know, because, you know, I'm a very, I like to be entertained, and I like to entertain. So that's just the way I am. And I think that once you read a book from me, you like it, you like my writing style, you see how I flow as far as on a daily basis, then you become cool with me. You know, and so we go from there. Like I say, I write because I love to write. Writing is something I love to do. I'm going to do it whether I make $1 or $1 million. I'm going to do it where one person like it or a million people like it. Because
mm-hmm.
writing for me is my passion. And I'm going to keep writing. You know, that's what I'm going to do. If I make money off of it, what? Shut your mouth. I love it. Shut your mouth. I still love it because I wrote because of me. You know, to me, people love my writing. That's a plus because I never imagined I would be here. Like, I wrote just because I wanted to write.
Right, right.
You know?
I can hear the passion. I definitely hear the passion.
Yeah.
Platinum, what do you think?
What was that question again? Don't judge me. Please don't judge me. I am a single mother of four and I'm in college full time. Don't judge me. Come here.
We're not going to judge you, but the question
and
was, what do you think?
My team man are running a publishing company. Y'all don't judge me.
The question was, what do you think really sells your book? Is it your personality, your writing style, or the price? I think Britton went with personality and a combination
and
of the others.
I think I want to go with personality as well. If y'all don't know who I am, but I'm a cool, calm, and collect type female, man. I'm cool as shit. I'm telling you, y'all need to know me. When y'all get to know me, y'all gonna be like, man, that girl funny. Yeah, I gotta buy her book. It's $2.99. I ain't got nothing but $3 for them programs. Yeah, she right, boy. Yeah. No, but I think it's your personality. The price as well may be factored in that, and then again, it may not because I mean, like back to the instance today at school. Everybody that bought a book for me, they didn't buy the e-book. I told them they were sold on Amazon. You know, book one was $0.99, book two was $2.99, book three was $3.99. They was like, no, I want the paperback. Okay, you want the paperback? Oh, those going for $15 a pop.
Okay.
It was like, okay, yeah, but I still want it. You know what I mean? So it's a combination of a lot of things. I mean, and I think if once your readers get to know who you are as a person and you're real humble with your readers, I mean, because you have some authors that don't talk to their readers. You know, they'll look at a comment that their readers made on their Facebook page. They won't like it. They won't comment. They won't say thank you. Nothing. I mean, in writing, period, or in anything that you do, you have to humble yourself because guess what? Without them, you will be nothing.
Right, right.
Now, I'm glad you said that. This brings up another question for me, so I'm glad you said that. Do you feel like readers treat writers a whole lot differently than they treat anybody else in the entertainment industry? Because let's face it, this is the entertainment industry. Like, I don't see people thinking that they have to make comments to Jay-Z on his Facebook page and he has to like it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see people doing that with Will Smith either. But it seems like with writers, they feel like, they feel like anybody can write. There's no mystique about writers anymore. Like, they used to be like, 20 years ago, there was a mystique about being a writer. Now, not so much.
You're totally right. Before I started writing, I was an avid reader. And I followed a lot of authors, my favorite authors, on Facebook, Twitter, whatever. And I never thought in a million years that I would be talking in the inbox with David Weaver. I'm like, I inboxed him one day. I'm like, yeah, he ain't going to inbox me back. And I looked on Facebook, and he had to inbox me back, and I almost had a heart attack. I grew up on Black. I was 4 months pregnant with my baby. I almost had a heart attack. I was like, oh, my God. I got up and did the dance. I'm talking about, oh, my God, did this man just inbox me back? David Weaver,
Platinum,
you talking about the man that wrote all these good books that I like?
Do you think that's a good thing, though, Platinum? In the grand scheme of things, do you think it's a good thing?
I mean, from a reader's point of view, that was, like, one of the best days of my life. Like, it was an amazing feeling to be talking to an author that I admired. Like, you know, I admired this man's work, like, It goes back to the other question, the other thing that I said. I mean, his name alone, it stood up for something. Anything that had his name on it, I bought without me reading the synopsis, without me even knowing who this author was. Anything that came out under David Weaver Presents, I bought because I liked him as an author. And for him to inbox me back on Facebook to reply to an inbox that I inboxed him, that was like the best day. Oh, my God, that was awesome.
I got a question for you guys. Do you think readers have too much access to to us as authors? Meaning, you know, you write your book, and when you sat down to write it, you wrote it as a standalone. You mapped it out. You know, you knew how it was going to start. You knew what plots and twists you were going to have in it. You knew how you were going to bring it to an end. And in your mind, you never even considered or conceived of trying to turn this into a series. But all the readers are wanting to know what happened. All the readers are wanting another series. What do you do?
In that instance, let me, I think that you have to decide as a author who runs it, you or them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, a lot of my readers, as far as my series, they won't. A part four, and I'm like, no, I'm done. That series is done. There is no part four because some I have seen a lot of, and I have seen it too. So I understand where you're coming from. Where we would be like, well, I want another part. I want to know. I think that if you have done, if you have completed that book, and if you have answered all those questions, why should you continue on to make up more stuff? Just let it go.
Right.
That's my opinion. I feel like, yeah, I love my readers. They support me. I love it. But when they was like, Amir, is there a part four? We need a part four. I say, no. Part three has ended. That is the finale. It is done. There's no more of Sins of My Father coming back out because I have decided in my mind that that story is complete. I have given you what you wanted. I have answered all your questions. So in that instance, it's done. And I am still be like, well, no, I want another series. Need to write another part four. And then when you do, some of them get mad. Well, we didn't need a part four. Why you got a part five? Why you got a part six? Because you can take a series to, I have seen it, to 8, 9, and 10. Oh, my goodness,
yep.
Just stop.
That's
just my opinion. I mean, I do think that I value my readers' opinions, and I do take them in consideration. However, you are not going to change my map. You're not going to change it. But, and then you're going to appreciate me not adding another book that we didn't need anyway.
Gotcha. Well, we have somebody on the line right now, so let me bring them on and see what they are wanting to say. Hi, caller. Did you want to make a comment to our guest, or did you want to ask them a question? Hello? 941?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Did you have a comment or a question for our guest?
No, I just want to say I'm Platinum Sister Tiffany from Bradenton, Florida, and I'm very proud of... Yes, I'm very proud of what she did. But I really got pissed off in Diary of a Trifling Bitch 3 because she killed off the brother and the sister.
You hear that? You got pissed off by your sister.
Oh,
we appreciate it.
That together in Orlando. I was like, why did she do that?
In my defense, while y'all have her on the line, I'm like Amir. That is my sister. We have the same mother and the same father. And when I was writing that series, she didn't know what was going to happen. She didn't know what was going on. But it took that heifer a whole year to read the whole series. That's why.
Because
okay.
I am a funny reader. So I'm just going to put it out there. I'm a funny reader. I don't want to just read book one and then got to wait a year for book two and then wait for book
Oh, God, if I hear that
so,
one more time, I'm going to shoot myself.
I'm telling you, I try to explain this to Reese. Writing books is not easy.
No, it's not.
Let me ask you this, Platinum Sister. What do you do about movies that have sequels? Because you have to wait on that. You have to wait for a sequel for a movie.
I can't wait. And this is what people say, but this, but literally, like, I support my sister to the fullest, so I will buy the books, and I'm cheating her all her money because I log on to my Amazon to let somebody else read the book, and they be frustrated because Well, when is your sister going to come out with the next book? I said, shit, I don't know.
But at least they know it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
When it comes.
Oh, they be waiting for it. So I just
See?
Really
there
want
you
to
go.
Say I support my sister in everything that she do. I want to punch her in the face because she done moved to North Carolina, but she's doing good up there.
Well, we're happy to have her in North Carolina. So
yeah, we claim her now.
Florida's loss is our gain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for your
North
call.
North Carolina's going to be my gain because she'll be back in November.
Okay.
Gotcha. Thank you so
but
much
thanks,
for calling
y'all was really good tonight. I've been listening to y'all since 9 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
Thank
I hope you continue to listen.
Yes. As long as she posted, because I don't know what the hell going on up there.
Well, we know y'all keep it real.
And the other author that's on here, she sounds like she's Brad Rose. So I like her, too. I'm going to meet her in August at the cookout.
Okay,
well, you know,
okay.
since you brought up Britton, and you said you like series, and you like them when they're all done. She's got three right there. You can go get all three books in her series
and
read them.
Well, I'll go get them tomorrow, long as she got three of them, because once I start reading, I don't like to stop.
There you
go.
Yeah,
she's
got
all three of them laid out.
And
so be sure you go. Britton? Britton?
I'll share the post on my page for you.
Okay.
Yeah, we're trying to get you sales here, Britton.
I know that's right. I'm gonna get them. I know that's right. Network, baby, network.
Yeah, it's all about network. And we're definitely going to have the link on our fan page and also in our group for Britton and also Platinum for their book. So y'all go to the fan page and also in our own WTF group, and you will see links to their respective books.
Okay, we have another caller on the line.
Oh, go ahead.
We'll
get another
caller
in. Go ahead.
Hi, caller, 843-321.
Hello.
Hi, you have a question or a comment for our guest?
Yes, hi, my name is Kim, and I'm the sister of Britton Amir. Hi, I love this. Hello?
Hi,
yes.
You're there?
Yes. Oh, I didn't hear anything.
No,
I just
want to
say I'm very proud. I just... Hello?
Go ahead.
I just want to say that I'm very proud of her. I'm her baby sister, and I'm real, real proud of her. But I'm ready for the next series to come out.
So it's a family affair here. We got both sisters calling in.
But here's the funny thing: both sisters are getting on them about, you know, yes, I'm proud of you, but Platinum sister, why you kill these people? And then, you know, Britton sister, I'm proud of you. When you coming out the next series? I love it.
I'm ready.
Well, as you guys, it comes from readers and it comes from family.
Yes.
Hey. Yeah. Family can be your best support or your worst critic. So
I just want them to be both.
Yes, that's always a good thing.
I need honest feedback. I need you to tell me, you know, I'm going to let you read it. Just tell me what's wrong. Tell me what you like. Don't lie to me. I used to whoop you when you was little. So, okay, you can get back at me.
Well, thank you, Britton sister. It was a great show tonight. Thank you for Britton Amir and Platinum. Like I said, you can go to our group and also our fan page, WTF fan page, and you will see the links to their respective books and also some bios on each author. Join us next Wednesday at the same time. And thank you so much to the callers, listeners, guests. Take us out, KJ.
Hit it. Yes!
dangerous. Stay away from me if you're contagious, cause I'm the winner. No, not a loser. To be an MC is what I choose. The ladies love me, girls adore me. I mean, even the ones who never saw me, like the way that I rhyme at a show. The reason why, man, I don't know. So let's go, cause that's the basis in. I'm kind of stingy, that's why I don't want to win. A funky rhyme to a foe or a good friend. Now listen up, cause I want you to comprehend. Cause I'm the leader, the man, superior. I say curia, and then you get worrier. So that's it, my mother not counterfeit. The record sells, which makes this one a hit. It won't hurt, to listen to Red Alert. Take off the shirt, make sure I don't hit the dirt. I like the kids, the guys, the girls. I want the junkies, it's a raw-based world. I'm on a mission, you better just listen. Till my rhymes, cause I'm all about dissing, cause... We'll be right back.